You're on 989-7500. Paul Mack presents Cinema Scoop.
Pushing his car. There's a near collision about to hit at any moment. I can feel it in my bones. What do you think here?
Live on the Sunset.
Here we are. We're at the corner of Fatburger and Haagen-Dazs.
Sure, right across from the Mercedes-Benz dealer?
Yes, sir. And we're here at the corner of the Cinerama Dome.
I heard the Cinerama Dome described today on the radio as the golf ball theater.
The golf ball theater?
Loaded to the hilt with Trekkie fans all the way around the corner. And I'll tell you, right at the corner where the revolving sign is, we got some fans over there that apparently haven't bathed in at least a month. We're talking...
lots of fans.
You cannot pass through without holding your breath. It's noxious.
Well, Dave, it's a good thing that this isn't smell-o-foam.
I'll tell you.
But I do know a couple of lines out there that stink, but we won't go into that. Anyway, Dave, why don't we talk to some of these people and find out what prompts them to do this every 3 or 4 years when they release one of these things.
And can we avoid the corner?
I think we can.
Okay.
So why don't we go around the long way, but we'll take a little walk and find out what exactly makes a Trekkie.
It's amazing how a lot of these people have made their own costumes and they look exactly like the costumes in the movie.
That's right, but they weren't the ones in the film, as a matter of fact.
No, of course not.
Now, Dave, as usual, I have seen Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home. Does that surprise you?
No, you're always scamming something.
But we're going to scam a couple of interviews. I won't tell you what happens because I did that last week.
Did you
hear that on my tape last week, Dave?
I avoided it, thank you.
All right, very good.
Scoop.
Eight, one, eight, nine, seven, five, zero, zero.
First of all, why don't you tell us your names here?
I don't have to give last
name. Susan and
Jim.
Jim. And you've been here for how long now?
Since about 8 o'clock this morning.
Is that all? The tickets didn't sell out right away, did they? Are you surprised?
No, because we got our tickets 2 weeks ago.
Well, I mean for the 12 o'clock show.
No, we're here for the first show.
It's 12 o'clock show. Very good. Okay, have you seen the movie yet yourself?
No, I've seen clips of it though.
Are you surprised that some people have seen the film already?
No, because I figured that, you know, all the movie critics and all that, you know, usually see all the films before we do anyhow.
Well, Jim, have you and Susan been to every Star Trek movie so far?
No, not me personally. She's been to most of them.
Have you? Who's more of the Trekkie here?
I am.
You trying to get Jim into the swing?
He's seen all the TV trickies, but I've seen them all home from day one.
Yeah.
Stand by for a warp drive in 10 seconds.
How do you feel about the concept of them going back home now? Do you feel like it's kind of like going to end their journeys now?
No.
Where do you think they'll go with it?
No Star Trek? Who knows?
Yeah. How about you?
I have no idea. I'm just waiting for the television series that's coming out next fall.
What do you think about that? Do you think it's going to be as good as the original?
As with many movies and things like that, sequels rarely come up to the first one. You might have a lot of old Trekkies moving in on it, and unless it's very good, I doubt that you'll have many new people coming on. I'm kind of hoping that with Roddenberry back in charge, things might get a little bit better.
It won't have the original cast on it, though.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, you might pick up a few old Trekkies, but I don't think all of them. They're just too devoted to Shatner and Nimoy and all those.
Well, what do you think of the concept of them coming back home for this Star Trek number 4?
Well, I've been just waiting for it because we've never seen planet Earth. We've always seen San Francisco. And I've been waiting for them to come to Earth. And as far as coming back in time, I think it's great. It's just a shame that they have not encountered the Star Trek phenomenon yet. I just wish they'd come up with a storyline such as where they come back to not Star Trek universe Earth 1986, but now universe 1986, and encounter the phenomena. It is incredibly large if you've ever looked into it.
Hi, sir. What is your name? Your first name, also?
Lewis.
Lewis, you're quite an artist here. You're drawing this sidewalk scene, aren't you?
Classic scene, yeah.
Are you here to see the movie or just drawing?
Here to see the movie.
All right. Are you an avid Trekkie like everyone else? Or you're just here for a good show?
Oh, yeah, I could say I'm a Trekkie, sure. Yeah.
You're going to be drawing the film while you're inside?
I doubt that. I'll be too busy.
Watching. Yeah. What are you expecting from
a camera with you?
What are you expecting for number 4 here?
Oh, well, pretty much what they've already said in various interviews and stuff like that. Just expect to be entertained, strong character story.
Yeah, like that. Yeah. What do you think of the extremity of the fans here in the uniforms and the ears and the whole shebang?
Oh, it's harmless.
Harmless? Makes for a good drawing, all right?
Yeah. I guess it just shows a sign of dedication more than anything else. I try to look at it more amusing kind of thing. Don't want to get to the psychological implications of it at all.
And believe me, there are psychological implications.
Well, yeah.
My name is David, and this is Paul.
Yeah, I'm Larry.
Hi, Larry. We're from a 24-hour talk entertainment line, and we're doing interviews with the people in line here to see the Star Trek movie. Now, I know you're not in line.
Is it number 3 or...?
This is number 4.
Oh, it's another one.
They already made another.
Yeah, well, you tell my man, Mr., what's his name, Kirk?
Kirk.
Tell him, get on out there, and when he finds something better, beam me up, because I'm ready to go.
Thank you.
Say, Dave, what do you think? Are they all here or what?
Let me tell you, he might as well be in line.
The single stench of that particular man covers for about 3/4 of the entire crowd put together. Can you agree with me there?
I was checking that shit out. It looked like some kind of pretty big cat was chewing on his face.
What cats were those anyway? Did you see that? Damn things can glow in the dark.
Oh my god. I need that.
Look like the black Scarface.
I'll tell you.
Well, Dave, this is it. What do you think?
Man, we're inside waiting.
Did we scan this puppy in here or what? What I don't understand.
What seat is this?
I don't know. But we were the last ones in line here.
Number 19 in the back.
Number 19 in the back. And how they let me through here with a $4,000 piece of equipment that weighs 25 pounds is beyond me.
You had it stuck in your sock.
That's right. I stuck it in my sock.
I love it.
Anyway. But are you okay now, Dave? As you know, I've already seen the film, and would you like me to tell you about it?
What is that, like the fifth time you've stated that on this show?
On this show, the second, but probably I'll get to 5 times.
Keep it to yourself.
Are there any questions you might like to ask for our listening audience here, Dave? Not for you, just for the listening audience.
Hey, who does the music for this one?
Leonard Rosenman.
Who's done the music for the last one?
The first one was done by Jerry Goldsmith. The second two were done by James Horner.
How different is it?
The James Horner scores were very much the Klingon theme that you hear. The first one by Jerry Goldsmith, I still think is the best musical score, but this score is a welcome change from the other two. This one is very fresh, very new, and they still integrate some of the Star Trek music, you know, the original series, television series music into it, but not as much.
A welcome change?
A welcome change.
At the movies with Paul and Dave.
A welcome change. It is.
Mr. Spock, welcome aboard.
Did you enjoy it, Captain?
Yes, I enjoyed it. After all these years.
Which supports a theory I've been formulating.
Spock,
I need you.
I need you. Badly.
Jim, you're pushing.
Mr. Matt, this is Kevin from Rosita, and as a matter of fact, I do have a review. Just today, I saw The Fly and at the UA Warner Center, and, well, here it is. The Fly, well, it's a very disgusting movie, but it's also surprisingly good. As you already know, it's about a scientist whose experiments with teleportation is complicated by the mere presence of a house fly, and slowly the scientist transforms into a 180-pound fly. Well, the story follows a female reporter who becomes romantically involved with the scientist, and the reporter's emotions when she sees her lover helplessly changing before her. The climax of this film is a combination of the most disgusting scenes this year with the sad and very tragic romance. Personally, I like the movie, and I recommend that you see this before it runs out of the theaters, but be warned, this movie's not for people with weak stomachs, so that's about all for me. This is Kevin from Rosita.
This is Nick
and George,
and we're here, and we'd like to give a review of Peggy Sue Get Married. Well, see, it's pretty okay. I mean, the plot's not that good. It's just about kind of a ripoff of Back to the Future. What it is, but the music's pretty good, and they got some old groups in there, and I mean, it's realistic. A 40-year-old woman looks like she's 17, and hey, it's pretty cool. What do you think, George?
What movie are we talking about?
Peggy Sue Got Married. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, it was not bad. It was like, if you like 50s type of stuff, then you'll love this movie.
That was pretty cool. Okay, well, that's all. This is Nick.
Alright, this is George.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you later.
Later.
I just saw The Color of Money. It was so rad. It was my favorite movie in the whole world. I'll give it a 9.5. Thanks. What about you, Jason? What would you say about this movie?
Nothing.
If anyone has a movie review of Laurie Anderson's Home of the Brave, I'd really like to get in touch with that movie. Anyone know where it's playing? Goodbye.
I just saw Reformed School Girls, and I missed the very beginning where they had the credits at the beginning. I caught the end credits. And I thought it was exactly what you'd expect. I mean, you've probably heard a little about it, and even if you haven't, just from the title, it was really, they didn't put any more into it than they had to. It was just trash, okay? And what else? I saw She's Gotta Have It, and I thought it was really cheap. I don't mean to be depressing. Come to think of it, everything's bad. I've never seen any good movies for the past. Haven't for the past. Oh, well, anyway, it was really cheesy looking, and I didn't think the plot really went anywhere. It was all characters, you know? And by the time you got to the end of She's Gotta Have It, it was just like, oh, yeah, so what? Big deal. Wow. Didn't really, it was just life. It was kind of like life. I mean, life doesn't always go somewhere, so it was just one of those life movies. This has been Aaron, North Hollywood.
Hello, this is Kevin Northbridge for a review of Howling 2. Not released in L.A. theaters yet, but available on video, Howling 2 is so murky and confused that it's not only hard to understand, but impossible to see clearly. Full of underexposed images and overly quick editing, the idiot horror plot is made dull in Philippe Mora's arty, obscure direction. Christopher Lee is suitably grave as a monster hunter out to destroy a coven of werewolves led by the bossy and incompetent Sybil Danning. His cohorts against the supernatural are played by Reb Brown and Annie McEnroe, as though it were all just a dumb joke. How true. I would not recommend this when it comes out. This has been Kevin Northridge for CinemaScoop. Thank you.
First of all, I want to make it clear that we always appreciate constructive criticism. Any expression of your feeling is always welcome. We have a very warm feeling toward our viewers. We know they are intelligent, discerning, and warm-hearted. I'm afraid our experiment may be getting out of hand. I shall ask our sponsor to fill the screen with his own wholesome, untroubled thoughts. This is especially designed for those of you with nothing at all on your mind.
On the road to places not yet charted, far away from where it all got started, we'll be leaving this world, and you can never go home. Your last destination, to places unknown.
Well, don't you want to get in?
Paul Mack Productions brings you Final Destination Unknown. A journey that begins at the end.
It's like, I don't do that anymore. Forget. Oh, on the air. Yes, hello, I am Susan Cinema, and you're not. And I'm back by popular demand, because all you lowlifes out there were tired of Paul Mack's drivel and needed something new and exciting in your life, so here I am.
And aren't you glad?
Well, we'll be right back after this short word.
I hope so. And you're home and away.
That was an ad from your local demon worshippers club of the greater Southland area. Well, I can say it's great to be back here on Cinema Scoop, but I couldn't disappoint the great following of fans that I've created since my debut here on Cinema Scoop, and I just know how all you poor schmucks are out there biting your nails waiting to hear the sound of my voice every week, and I just didn't have the heart to disappoint you further, so here I am.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Well, tonight we're going to be talking about a movie that probably none of you have already seen yet, since you're all into the Rambo School of Filmmaking, or what's even worse, the Paul Mack School of Filmmaking.
You
probably have heard of this movie. It's a little pun, you see. It's about a deaf girl, a deaf woman, rather. Children of a Lesser God. But before I begin talking about it, I just wanted to comment. Paul Mack just made this embarrassing blooper, and since he didn't notice it, I wanted to be the one to bring it up and humiliate him. Paul, baby, Fellini did not do Romeo and Juliet. It was Zeffirelli. But, Bo Zipkins, buddy, how's it going, Bo? Yeah, so your mommy only lets you see a couple of movies a year, huh? And then, or a couple of movies every 10 years, is that what it's like, huh? I think Romeo and Juliet came out about, it was a long time ago. Paul Mack hadn't even hit puberty then. I don't think he has yet. Oh, wait, yeah, there's a stray nose hair. Yeah, Paul, does that mean that you've become a man now, that you have hairs growing out of your nose? I don't know.
No.
No. Okay, you've heard it from the boy wonder himself. He hasn't. So, Bo, listen, buddy, don't listen to Paul. No, you'll never hit puberty yourself if you keep associating with him.
Thank you and good night.
But in case either Paul or Bo Zipkin is interested, there is a new film called Franco-American Fettuccine Goes Back to the Future, and I would recommend it for either of your viewing enjoyment. But ask for it by name. You can find it at the video store under pasta. Well, tonight we're going to be talking about Children of a Lesser God, and it stars last year's Oscar winner for Best Actor, William Hurt. In that movie, he played a blatant homosexual who got involved with the radical underground movement somewhere in South America. Well, in this movie, William Hurt plays James, a deeply sensitive teacher for the deaf, who encounters a very troubled young deaf woman, Marley Matlin, whose resentment at the hearing world causes her to remain at the school where she works as a janitor. Well, it turns out that this girl is no dog, and Bert is quite captivated by her. And he wants to teach her how to speak. Gee, as though she never thought of it herself.
I spaced out.
Matley's character, Sarah, finally opens up to James after several scenes where she tells him to go f*** himself, especially in the swimming pool scene. I really don't understand how they could have done it all underwater without coming up for air once in a while, but I don't know, maybe you develop fins when you're a love or something. The rest of the film deals with the conflicts and tensions of their growing relationship as they learn to share their lives with one another.
Oh my God!
The movie was captivating and stirring up until the end, which was like eating a Bob's Big Boy hot fudge ice cream cake with fake whipped cream. It was just a little too sweet. Actually, I'm a William Hurt aficionado. He looks great in a dress, great in a pool, great in a bed, great on the floor, great in... All right, I guess that was never made into a movie.
Oh my God!
But both actors are very compelling in this film, which, again, is more about the problems that any couple faces in a relationship. I mean, think about Christy Mack, married to someone who sleeps with a life-size cardboard cutout of Mickey Mouse. Hey, Christy, remember the part when Sarah walked out on James? Get a clue.
Imagine.
Well, that about wraps it up for Children of a Lesser God. Of course, it's gotten me all steamy thinking about William Hurt in a pool.
Ooh.
Clothes on, but that's besides the point. I think it's time for all of you listeners out there to pull your fingers out of your bodily orifices and hang the phone up, because I'm not going to be speaking much longer. I really enjoyed myself tonight. I hope it was good for you, too. And I'll be seeing you soon, here, on the Cinema Scoop.
Memories.
Okay, people, we're doing this the dual face way.
Reach out and call Dual Face. Now we're desperate here. Reach out and just say hi.
Don't say hello.
Reach out and call Dual Face.
Just give us a ring and we'll do our thing. Just listening to Dual, you will feel like a fool.
Jimmy,
sir. What do you think of you two guys here now? You're all trekked out today. What do you think of the film?
It was pretty good. It was, I think, one of the better ones.
Now, obviously, you're a Star Trek fan, right? You've probably seen all the films and all the episodes and yourself, too.
Right.
Okay, and what do you think of the film?
I thought it was, above average.
Above average now compared to the other
three? Compared to the other movies, yeah.
Okay. Do you think it was best of the four, or do you have a preference in which one you like?
I think it's probably the best of the four.
A lot of fun. You sure it's just not the hype of being here and everything, huh? It takes serious analyzation, I think.
That's true.
No, it was a lot of fun, though. Even a non-Star Trek fan type person could get into it.
Yeah, I think the interaction of all the characters and the cast was very, very good and made it a very close and well-working picture.
Right. So, were you disappointed, or did it exceed your expectations? Or?
It exceeded my expectations.
That's good. A lot of fun. All right, how long did you guys wait in line? Were you, like, way up there in the front of the line, or...?
We waited, 20 minutes.
20 minutes, really? So you were, like, towards the end of the line, or did you have buddies waiting in line for you?
We had buddies.
Ah, scamming that puppy, huh?
That's right.
All right, guys. Any further closing remarks? That bad, huh? All right, thanks a lot for your time. Bye-bye.
Hi, Paul. This is Vicky Powell, and it is great to hear you back up again with a new phone line. It's really great to hear you. My review this week is on Star Trek IV, and personally, I thought it was an excellent film. I think it was the best out of all four, but how many times are you going to hear that? I did hear, though, that a lot of people were disappointed because there weren't as many special effects, but that is only because they didn't realize they were seeing special effects. For anyone who hasn't seen it, or for those who have, the whales are not real in this film, except for the stock footage that was used. They built 40-foot whales, and they built like 3 or 4 foot long whales that were animated for the underwater sequences. So I think the line that was said was, you know how to whistle, don't you, Steve? You just put your lips together and blow. I don't know from the first one or not. Anyway, this has been a real frazzled review from Mickey's pal, Ingrid Handles. Nice to hear you back up, Paul. I'm very happy you're up. We needed you desperately. Anyway, everybody have a great life, and goodbye.
Well, congratulations, Mickey's pal was the very first caller to correctly identify our cinema sentence that was heard on last week's program, and you've just won yourself a ticket good for a Pacific Theater in Southern California. And everybody listen for a new cinema sentence on next week's program. And now, who else better qualified to give you the scoop on a benefit screening of Star Trek IV than Mr. Dave Scoop himself? Dave?
That's right, a special benefit showing. Benefit meaning it is going to be a charitable presentation that is going to benefit the Juvenile Justice Connection Project. They are presenting a private screening and a reception with reserved seats. So you will have to reserve a seat if you want to see Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home, during this special benefit showing. It's going to be one night only. It's going to be December 4th, 1986, at 8 o'clock p.m. That's December 4th at 8 o'clock in the evening. And the good thing about it is that there's going to be a special guest appearance by William Shatner, Captain Kirk himself. It's going to be held at the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences Samuel Goldwyn Theater at 8949 Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles. It's 8949 Wilshire. And tickets are available only through Ticketron. You can't get them anywhere else. They're not going to be sold at the theater. And they must be purchased through Ticketron. The phone number for Ticketron is 213-410-1062. It's 410-1062 in the 213 area code for Ticketron, Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home tickets at the Goldwyn Theater on Wilshire. Tickets are $25 because it is a benefit showing. Now, it's not your average showing. This is an exclusive theater, and it's going to be a very good presentation, and there is a reception afterwards, and there's the guest appearance by William Shatner. But hey, the parking's free.
Ra-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-